You have your Bibles this morning. I'd love for you to find 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As we approach this Passion Week, we are reminded today in relationship to communion or the Lord's Supper. As we come to this time, we find a New Testament passage of Scripture where we find a change in the Lord's Supper. There's a change from what it used to be to what it is today as we see this here before us. And we notice why that change took place. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, was combating a lot of different challenges that the church had had. And in chapter number 11, in verse number 17, he says some things that gives us instructions concerning approaching the Lord's Supper. If you found your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to show you, beginning in verse number 17, a passage of Scripture that really gets our hearts ready and prepared to receive the Lord's Supper. Notice what Paul says in verse 17. He says, "Now in this, that I declare unto you, I praise you not, for when you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifested among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before another his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I declare unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. As the rest I will set in order when I come." Now, we don't know what that rest was that he set in order concerning the Lord's Supper, but what we do know is that he was not happy because the supper used to be a literal supper, a love feast, one that those would come together and they would remember the Lord's body and they would remember the Lord's blood. However, what the Corinthians did was they totally turned this celebration on its head. And just as Paul said, they began to be selfish in their desire. And they would come to church hungry, and they would eat and drink, and some would even get drunk. And how sad it was that the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was forgotten at the Lord's Supper. And so today we approach the supper this morning coming, and we come together, not in a full-fledged feast, but in a purpose to remember the Lord's body, a purpose to remember the Lord's blood. And as we remember this, it's important that we remember why we do this and what form of theological preference we take as we do this. In response to those that are here and our guests, the only requirement of partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning in this communion that we have together is that you be a born-again child of God. That is to say, you know that you're going to heaven when you die. You say, well, I don't know that, Pastor. How could I know that I'm going to heaven when I die? According to the Bible, Paul once again said to the church at Rome, he says, you must recognize that you're a sinner and know that you cannot save yourself and that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We stand condemned before God Himself. But God demonstrated His love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, standing in condemnation, that Christ died for us. And through His death, burial, and resurrection has provided a way that you and I could have forgiveness of our sins and be back in right relationship with God. And Paul also said in Romans, he said that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is to say, to be in right relationship to God, to know where you're going to spend in eternity. So dear friend, if you're here today and you do not know that, and yet you recognize that you're a sinner, and you want to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, then I ask you here in just a few moments, as we enter into the invitation in just a moment, that you would give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Number two, the second thing that I would remind you of in relationship to the church is Paul said that we need to tarry one for another. We need to pause and have a season, a time where the altar is open, where we can judge ourselves, that we be not judged. That we take some time and just say, God, is there anything in my heart? Am I harboring any sin? Am I harboring any anger? Am I harboring any bitterness? Am I harboring anything inside of me that would cause me to partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? And today, if there is, I confess that before you, God. I exercise 1 John 1:9. I confess my sins, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins as we enter into this season of communion together. And then number three, concerning the theology of why we do this. This is very important. There are four basic views that the Lord's Supper represents, of which we recognize one as the biblical model. There's the first one that's called transubstantiation. Transubstantiation says that the bread is literally changed into the body and the juice is literally changed into the blood and the recipient literally eats the body and drinks the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a Roman Catholic view, and we do not see that reflected in 1 Corinthians. We do not participate in the transubstantiation view of the Lord's Supper. Then there's the second theological position, and that is consubstantiation, where the bread and the juice actually contain the body of Jesus Christ. It doesn't transform itself into a literal body or blood in the form of cannibalization, but we do see here in this that it is in it, it is within it, it is under it, it is above it, it is all around it. This is a Lutheran type of view of communion in the Lord's Supper. Again, we do not see that in 1 Corinthians. The Bible doesn't reflect this form, so we do not partake and participate from a consubstantiation position. Number three, there's the third position called the Reformed position. That's the Presbyterian form of this and says that simply Christ is not literally present in the element, but there is this spiritual presence of Christ and the recipient receives grace through partaking of this element. Again, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, and all the way following through the context of this passage, again, we do not see this form of theology taking place in this text. So we are not participating in a Reformed position. We are not participating in a consubstantiation position. We are not participating in a transubstantiation position. So if we're not participating in these three theological forms of position of the Lord's Supper, which one are we participating in? Then we are participating in, dear friend, in the memorial view of this position. Again, I call your attention to what Jesus said in verse number 24. Jesus says very simply that as we approach the Lord's Supper and He gives the bread and He gives the juice, and verse number 24 says, and when He had given thanks, that's prayer. When we pray just as Jesus prayed, we pray. And the Bible says that He broke it. That is, He tore off a piece of the bread and He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Don't miss this part. He says, this do in remembrance of me. This is a memorial view. He does the same thing with the cup in verse 25. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it." Again, in remembrance of me. This is a memorial. This is a remembrance. This is why we pause and think and reflect and try to do everything that we can in a service such as this to remind us that we are participating in an act of remembrance. But it's more than just an act of remembrance, because it's also an act of unity. We tarry for one another. And yet it is also making the gospel visible as we see the bread representing the body of Jesus and the blood represented by the juice. And so today, I ask that we participate in a biblical model of this beautiful ordinance the Lord has given us. That we remember what Jesus did for us. Remember His body and remember His blood. And as we do so, may we tarry for one another this morning. The altars are going to be open. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite us to stand. We'll have a time where the altars, you can come and pray. And as you do so, we'll prepare the table. And we'll begin just as soon as the altars are empty. Please understand that there is plenty of time. We're not in a hurry for this. I do not want to stand before the Lord as your pastor and be guilty of the same thing that the Corinthian pastor was guilty of regarding the Lord's Supper. So, boy, you're serious about this, Pastor. I am. So may we take it and use it for His glory, honor, and praise. The bread cannot save you. The juice cannot save you, just like the water can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And so today, if you need salvation, could we bow for prayer? And if you're here and you'd like to receive Jesus as Savior, would you simply say something like this to the Lord? Would you say, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that You are the Savior. And this morning, the best that I know how, I repent of my sins and I trust You as my Savior. Thank You for saving me. I'll live for You by faith. In Jesus' name." And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and gave your heart to Jesus, and you did that this morning, I want to welcome you to the family of God. When we're all finished today, I want to invite you to come see me. I want to help you grow in your faith. For those of us that are here that are Christians, the altar will be open when I say amen. Please come and do business with the Lord. Don't tarry, but let us wait for one another. Don't tarry in your business with the Lord, but do tarry for one another. Father, have Your way in this time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.